strength, size, and power for impact. I'm talking to you about strength, size, and power for impact. It's not how big your mouth is. It's how strong your words are. Yeah? It's not how big your mouth is, it's how strong your words are. It's not how big your size is, it's how strong your character is. Do you have a strong character? Some of you would say yes. Some of you would say, I'm not quite sure. Well, the only way you find out if you've got a strong character is if it gets tested. Okay, this money's falling all over the place. You're asking, why is he going in there? Because I've got an illustration. Let's go to Psalm 24:8. And it's, who is the King of Glory? Is the Lord strong and mighty? That's it. No, thank you. The Lord mighty in battle. He's not just strong and mighty. He's mighty in battle. And he says, lift up your heads. Oh, you gates, lift them up. You ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he? He is the King of Glory, the Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. Now, I want to talk to you today about this king some more. He's got size, he's got strength, he's got power for impact. And that king lives inside you. Amen. 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 We want to know more about his sufficient strength that lives inside me and you. There are ancient doors that need to be opened inside of you. Before your gates be lifted up, your doors have to be opened. Before your gates can be lifted up, your doors have to be opened. What does that mean? Well, in one sense, it's your thinking, your heart has to be opened to a new level so that the light that comes from what you see begins to cause you to lift your head. When you begin to lift your head, it's because you've now been awakened or aroused to a whole new dimension that now gets your attention. But you've got to make room for it in your head and your heart before you lift your head. Yeah? Sometimes we lift our head when we can't see properly. But what's the point of lifting our heads if we've got no room to store what we see? You know, if I stand up here, I'll see over and above. But if I don't have the capacity on the inside, I'll only ever be intrigued or interested, but I'll never capture what I've seen. You see, when I go to a Malaysia or I go to anywhere where the Lord has said to me, go over there, God has taken me to a place where because my ancient doors are opened, I can lift my gates. But it's no point in me going if I don't have capacity to glean and bring back. The Queen of Sheba went to glean. Yeah? So this scripture is very important for us because it talks about who God is, but also how everything begins to change. Doors open and heads are lifted when this king comes in. Yeah? We all rise to a whole new level when we let him in. All of us. Now, if I pulled out my card, let's just say it's not a MasterCard, but for your... My MasterCard's in my phone, but let's just say this is a MasterCard. I pull this MasterCard out here, and we look at it. It's just a piece of plastic, is it not? Just a piece of plastic. It's got coding on it. It's got a name on it. It's got a date. It's got all the information on it that needs to be on this card for me to be able to use it. And I'm Phil pulled out, or John, Edna, whoever you are in here, could be anyone. You pulled your card out and you stood it next to mine. Now, are both the cards the same size? Yes. Right. They're both the same size. But they don't both have the same power. No. They both have the same size. They're flexible to a point. In fact, they're not easy to rip up, are they? No. You've got to cut these things up. But these are just the same size, and everyone's got one. Whatever credit card you've got or debit card you've got, we've all got one, and we all line them up, and we could all make our dominoes. And they all look the same. No one looks any different if we just stand with our card next to each other. True? It's not until you look behind the card you see differences. you see that though they are the same size, they don't all have the same strength and power. True? They don't have the same spending power. Some of them have different restrictions on them, very much like our lives. So we can all stand in church as a credit card, can all be worshipping. Well, I'm just the same as you. You're just the same as me. But behind this plastic is strength and power. Yeah? They've got different abilities, and some's got different restrictions on than others. Would we all agree with that?
Yes.
Of course we would. You see, the thing is with, they have different purchasing power. I can go in and purchase differently than maybe, or I may not be able to purchase the same as somebody else with a card. Why? Because they've got greater strength and power in their resources than I have. Yeah? Now that card, well, this card, is, they say it's flexible. But it shouldn't bend. Some of us want to be that flexible that we bend. And when you bend, you're on the verge of snapping. Flexible is not the same as something bending. Now, the thing is with these cards is this can either be my best friend or it can be my worst enemy. So now, if it's going to be my best friend and I'm going to use it in a proper way, I'm the one who needs the strength. I'm the one who needs the power. The power to say no or yes. Because this card is my Goliath. This card can torment me and taunt me. And how it does it? Do you know how it does it? So easy. Goliath speaks to you every day, and he does it through your wants and your needs. And he tells you that your want is, no, he tells you that your wants, you tell yourself that they're actually needs. No, it's a want. You don't need it. Now you take the kids out, and the kids will tell you, I need that, mummy. I need it. And they will hound you and harass you all day long because that kid sees it and says, I need it. Your desires are the very thing. Your desires show the strength of you. And your willpower shows even greater whether you've got master over your desires or your willpower has got master over you. Yeah? You defeat you 9 times out of 10. You defeat you because of your wants, your desires, your habits. These are very significant powers, that forces that destroy us from within. Oh, you're going quiet over there now. Yeah? This card has the ability to resurrect me or bury me. Yeah? And some of us are buried. Some of us are resurrected and liberated because you've got control over your spending. Now, whatever resources you have are your resources. How you use them, that's a different issue now. Now, that takes wisdom. All of us have desires. Are desires wrong? No. Nothing wrong to desire. Nothing wrong to, it's not wrong to desire love. It's not wrong to desire peace. It's not wrong to desire prosperity for your children. They're not things wrong. They're good things. However, everything has a balance. Everything has a balance. And these forces within us are the very thing that become, like a habit is strong. A habit can be strong. And it takes a greater force to break a strong force. Does it not? And we all have habits. And most of it comes from the fork and it comes in. Eating is a habit. Drinking is a habit. Hopefully none of you smoke, but if you do, that's a bad habit. No exercise is a bad habit. Too much exercise is not good for you, depending how old you are. All these are habits that need balance, yeah? And I've had to wrestle with myself many, many times when it comes to my desires. So have you. And that credit card, I have to tell myself that the credit card, even though I've got the resources, here's the thing, even though I have the resources, it doesn't mean to say that I'm still spending my money right. So let's just say I go in and I just feed me, self-indulgent. I've got the resources, but all of it's going to me. It's all on me, focus, my happiness, my wants, my needs, my lack, my absence. I can become so self-centered that I don't use my resources with the strength and the power that they really could be used. Yeah? You're very quiet this morning. You're listening. And the greatest power, the greatest strength, the greatest restraint that you need is the one called responsibility. Responsibility shows God that you really are a person of character and maturity to say no. You know, I remember, for a while, it took me 3 years. I had some resources available. It took me 3 years to buy this coat. And I only bought the coat because Carol kept saying, I want you to have it. I want you to have it. I want you to have it. And I looked at the price and went, on your bike. On your bike. It's nice, but it's not that nice. And we had some good resources put aside. And Carol says, you know, I really want you to buy it. And I got to the shop 3 times. I tried it on. And I gave her the impression, we're going to buy it. Nah, I'm not buying it. And she went, why? And each time she'd walk out the shop, she'd be angry with me. That you don't buy it. You don't buy it. You don't spend money on yourself. I said, look, I don't necessarily need it. Your want is greater than my need. So the 4th year, I bow down. But it took me 4 years. Till eventually, I bought this coat. I won't tell you how much it was. It's like, now the bank did not suffer any way, shape or form. Why? Because the resources were there. But I exercised willpower for 3 years. Until the power that was in the house was stronger than me. You're having it this year. Okay, so eventually I got it. Now, there have been other times in my life when she wouldn't have had to ask me once or twice. I'd have bought it the first time she asked. In fact, sometimes I might have even bought it before she even asked. And we've all got those moments in us. We've all got those moments in us where you've got the resources and your eyes are bigger than your belly. And that's why when you go into a supermarket and they put all the products at the side and you didn't go in for chocolate, but you find yourself coming out with a ton of it. Yeah, it's true, we've all done it. You've got to tell yourself, Satan sits at the front door of a supermarket. You know why they do it, don't you? Because it works. Of course it does. Now, let's get to business. If you and I are going to have strength, size and power, then we must become comfortable with the word no. Oh, this is a word that most people don't like. They manifest at the sound of no. You know, God isn't a yes God. God isn't a yes God. God doesn't keep saying yes to show you that he loves you. God is a good father. And he's quite comfortable with the word no, and so should you and I. Get used to it. Why? Because he says, anything that you don't ask according to my will. Why would he say yes to something that's not according to his will? But anything that is according to his will, he said ask. So your asking is all based on, is it the will of God? Well, God, I really need this. No, you can't pull the wool over God's eyes. God knows the motives of our hearts. We must also be comfortable. So we got no. It's only 2 letters, but it's powerful. It's a strong force, no. Why? Because if I say no to you in some areas, you manifest. You go into a temper, you go into a tantrum, you go into drama, you go into all kinds of things, manipulation, because we don't, there's something about that word no that stops us getting what we want. True? But then there's another word, there's another thing we've got to be mindful of. If we want to really exercise the strength and power of God, we've got to be okay with taking instructions. So no is an instruction. No. Why? Live with it. Deal with it. Get over it. If you have a chain command structure in the military and we say no, or they say no, you know there's no recourse for coming back and saying, why? Explain it to me. I don't have to. I'm okay with God saying, I don't need to explain myself in this area. You have to take the instruction and the command because I'm God. That's the rule of our fellowship. The moment you get used to me saying no or me going silent on you for a period of time, you must be comfortable with me doing that as your father. Because silence, we think God owes us an explanation. God doesn't owe us an explanation. If God gives us one, it's by his own grace. But no is okay. And some of us think, well, and guess what? That's why we'll be going to fasting. We fast then to find the will of God, the mind of God, not to put his arm up his back. Because the fasting says, Lord, I want to pursue you more on this. Talk to me about this in this area. And so instructions and commands and the word no, they've got to be part of your life. Because if God says no, he says no for a good reason. Yes? Kids can't handle no. But the Bible tells us we're not kids, we're not infants. Paul says, when I was a child, I thought like a child and I reasoned like a child. But then I put childish ways behind me, I became a man. Right, so there's an evolution there. You've got to stop. You might be a man or a woman, but you might still be talking to God like a child. You are a child in the biggest sense, but you're not immature. So we've got to be okay with commands and instructions. This is fundamental to you and I growing in God. I don't like the word no neither. But I know it's for my own good sometimes. So let's go to Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7. So strength, size and power, they're all things given to us in a measure. You know that, don't you? Each of us has a different strength, size and measure. That's the illustration of the card. We all have a different ability, spending ability. We all have different restrictions in our bank accounts according to our earning capacity. We don't spend more than we earn. We spend what we've got, right? Or we spend from what we've got. Not we spend what we've got. We spend from what we've got. And we try and save. If we've got that ability to save, we save. I want to say ability, I mean you've got resources over to save. Yeah? I do the penny challenge. Anybody heard of the penny challenge? And I've been doing it now for 5 years. And every Christmas, just by the odd change in my pocket, I throw it in a box at home. And nearly every Christmas, I've nearly got about 400 quid. Just by putting my spare change in this box, 400 quid. It's not bad come Christmas time. It's not bad at all. It's 400 quid that I always add, but it's just been focused in such a way that it now gives me 400 quid to go and buy something I really, really want rather than waste 10 pence here, 20 pence there, a pound there, 30p here. It works. The penny challenge is good. And it's a form of saving. So we can all save. We've all got extra income. Small or large. And if I've got 20 pence, I'll throw it in the box. Don't have to be £20. 20 pence. It all goes in. Man, you can find 20p in the street. Put it in a box. So Deuteronomy. When the Lord brings you into the land you are entering to possess, and drives you out before nations. And then he mentions these are strong, powerful nations that are bigger than Israel. And he mentions them. He says, these are the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And then he says, seven nations larger and stronger than you. God is not worried about size. God is not worried about size. Again, we all pull our credit cards out. A man boasts there. God says, I'm not bothered about the size of your card. I'm more inclined to ask you the size of your heart. So he said, these are larger and stronger than you. And when the Lord God, your God, has delivered them over to you. So something's about to change. Something that's stronger and bigger and more powerful is about to be overcome. Now watch this. He says, your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them. Then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them and show them no mercy. Was that an instruction he's just given them? Did you hear that instruction? You've got to be able to pick up the instruction when God's speaking. When God speaks to us in his word, he's always speaking instructions. This is why we get ourselves in trouble. We only look for the nice, warm, fuzzy scriptures. God's always speaking and giving us instructions. And you've got to be able to pick them up so you can obey them, so that your strength and your size and your power grows. Right? He says, do not intermarry with them. Is that an instruction? Okay, you've found out two instructions. Do not give your daughters to their sons to take their daughters for your sons. Is that an instruction? But it's so easy to read this and miss it. Do not intermarry with them. Don't give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters to your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. And the Lord's anger will be burned against you and you will quickly destroy you. This is what you are to do to them. Instruction. Break down their altars. Smash their sacred stones. Cut down their Asherah poles. Burn their idols in the fire. Does that sound like a command and an instruction? Right, of course it is. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Your God, the Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people and his treasured possession. So God is not speaking to anyone, he's speaking to his family. So when we read scriptures, God is speaking to us, his family. He speaks to you as an individual person, but he's speaking to you as part of the wider context of his family. God speaks to us from a point of strength, size, and power. And he speaks to you in your strength, in your size, and your power. And what he says is, the key to you and I growing is you being able to take instructions and obey them. This is going to be a key for us all. What we can't obey, if we don't like the word no, we're in trouble. So, let's put the context that he said, there are nations stronger and more powerful than you. I'm sure there are things in your life and my life that seem more powerful, more bigger than you. True? How do we tackle them? Well, the first thing we need to understand is this. Something that is bigger, more powerful than me is also defeatable. Amen. You've got to put that in your mind, that something can be defeated. Now, once I get that in my mind, something can be defeated, I need to find out how. Yeah. How I can defeat it is a different question than it's too big. I can't do it. So your kids come home one day and say, Johnny's been bullying me today. What do we do with that? Johnny's there. Johnny seems to be more powerful. Johnny's got more friends. Johnny seems to have the class, the ear of the class. How do we defeat Johnny? Well, there are ways. Now, what we've got to do is we've got to speak to Jimmy, who's been battered by Johnny, and we've got to say to Johnny, the little, and we've got to put some strength back into him that allows him to go back into the school. Right? And not be defeated by this guy every day. Now, that's a different strategy, and it's not easy to do, but the giant's defeatable. The first thing you've got to tell yourself is the giant is defeatable. Israel did not think Goliath was defeatable, but David had no problem with it. Now, you can either be Israel or you can be David. See, David might think, how would you rate your chances this year? Pretty good. Okay. So he's got an element of confidence. I don't know if he just adjusted that for my question, but so he's got a pretty good chance, right? Now he's been knocked back before, so he's not going in there gung-ho. I understand that. So he's got a pretty good chance. I think he's got every chance of winning. Yes. Yes. Not some chance, not a good chance. It's all about if this is the right time for him. Yeah. It's all about the right time. But the giants, the doubts can be defeated. But first of all, he's got to tell himself, I'm coming to represent the one who's called me. That's my first stand. I'm a representative, Lord. So you win. I represent you. I don't need the I do need the favor of man. But if I've got the favor of God, the Bible tells me if I get the favor of God, he gives me the favor of God and man. I don't get the favor of man and then try and seek the favor of God. So representation is your strength. I go out there to represent. And then he says, God has delivered them over to you. Your strength and size didn't come into it, but God's strength and size inside you came into it, and he delivered them over to you. Amen. True? The one who is in you is greater than the one who is outside of you. And then he says, make no treaty with them and show them no mercy. Now, here's the problem. There are too many things we show mercy to. What do we mean? Cake. Cake. Dessert. When the door should be slammed and your desire should be frozen, what do? I show mercy on the cake. You were designed to be eaten, and I will find you a place in my heart. And I will bring you in, and you and I will abide together. Yeah? Too much cake's connected to the grave. We show mercy to things. We show mercy to habits we should not. We show mercy in too many, many ways. Where wants and desires, we show mercy to the wrong things. No is a strong word. And then, do not marry. What does that mean, do not marry? Well, we know in the natural, and don't get married. But how many wrong relationships do we form with wrong things? We make a covenant with things we should never make a covenant with. And we get ourselves into a relationship, a bond that can't be broken. And we say, I love these things. I love these things. And we give these things attention and time and resources and money. And the Bible's saying to us, this is an instruction. I told you no. I told you no. Now, here's the thing. When do I have strength? When am I at my strongest? When are you at your strongest? Now, I'm not asking a physical question here. I'm asking a spiritual question. When do you think you're at the strongest? Okay, when you're at your weakest. Good answer. It is a good answer, when you're at your weakest. Also, let's widen the search a wee bit. What else do you think may contribute to you being at your strength, your strongest point? Well, you could say, when I put my trust in God, put my faith in God. Our whole premise of strength is based on the covenant he made with me. Yes. The covenant. Because from that covenant gives me rights. Gives me expectations. It gives me right thinking. It gives me instructions. It gives me principles. It gives me so many things. When I focus and function on God's covenant, I'm at my strongest. You know why? Because when I focus on the things that the covenant has given me, I'm always in the right. Yeah? I'm always in the right because I know what the covenant has given to me. the covenant I give to you, a new covenant, that you love one another as I have loved. So do you not think that's part of an instruction, loving one another? So when we don't like people and we don't love them, do you not think that could hinder our prayers? I think so. Yeah? Do you not think the way I treat my wife can not hinder my prayers? The Bible very clearly tells us, if a man does not treat his wife, even his prayers are hindered. Guys, wake up. It's an instruction. You must treat the one who said I will rightly. And wives also, you must also treat your husband the way Scripture tells us. Why? Because we're in covenant. Covenant is the highest order. God always functions from his covenant. From the covenant. Now, four instructions we read when, well, we read more than four instructions, but four points I want to pull out here very quickly in Deuteronomy 7. He says in verse 5, this is what you are to do to these nations. This is what you are to do to find your strength, to get your strength in your life. You need to do four things, he's saying. You need to break down the altars, smash the sacred stones, cut down the Asherah poles, and burn the idols in the fire. What were the four things that undone Israel? Those four things. They were the four things that constantly Israel wrestled. These became reasons why Israel was weak. She couldn't do these four things, and neither will you or I. Well, I don't have an Asherah pole, really. I don't have an altar, really. I don't have stones, really. Of course we do. We've just relabeled them. We've packaged them. We've put love and affection on so many different things. We have. Of course we have. So he says, I'll give you my strength and my power to break down your altars. I'll give you my strength. My strength to break down your altars. Why? Because an altar is a symbol of where you put your love and affection. If I ask you to love me with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength and all your soul, I'll also give you the same power to break anything that obstructs that. True? So God gives us his strength, and he gives it us through instructions. If we'll obey it, we will tap into a strength that we never thought was possible. Yeah. If I've asked you to love me, and yet there are things in your life being an obstruction, if I see that you've got the will to do it, I'll give you my power to break them. Amen. If. See, I remember when I couldn't stop smoking. Never had the willpower to stop smoking. And I'd go and buy a packet of cigarettes, take one out. I'm going to quit. This is the new regime. This is the New Year's resolution. And then within an hour, I go and buy another 20. I could never do it until one day I decided, I do not want to get cancer. I do not want to smoke. I want it to come to a stop. I came in here. People prayed for me. The smell of nicotine left me. I never smoked a cigarette after that. God gave me his strength and his power to stop something that was getting in the way of him. I had a dependence on nicotine. Now, how vile are cigarettes? There's nothing like an ex-smoker to tell you how bad cigarettes are. Believe me, they stink. God wants you to dismantle and just dismantle anything that gets in the way of the instruction he's give you. Love me with all your heart and mind. Then he says, I'll give you the strength. I'll even give you my strength to smash the sacred stones. Smash the sacred stones. What are the sacred stones in your life? What do you consider? Where are they places? Are they people? Are they goods? What are the sacred stones you have in your life? Do they need to be smashed? God will give you his power to smash it. Smash it means to violently break something into pieces, to move so as to collide with something with a force and with impact. To smash something needs force and energy and power to smash. You see, to break something means to dismantle it. So when God is asking you, he gives you power to break something, he's saying, dismantle it, and so it can no longer be used for what it was being used. So, again, cigarettes. And my past, I was involved in all kinds of stuff. And God says to me one day, go back. I don't want to go into it this morning. We haven't got time. And I've shared it before. Go back, give all the bag with all the goods in it, give it back to the guy that you're in partnership with, and give all the money that you had. And I went in. I remember getting out the car, and the Lord spoke to me one day, and he just says, Tony, leave sin with sin. That's the word he gave to me. I just give my heart back to the Lord, and I was involved in some practices, and I just heard the Lord say to me, leave sin with sin. And I went back into work, and I dropped the bag, and I dropped the money, and I said, it's all yours. And this guy went, what? I can't believe it. Why? I walked away. I dismantled its hold. I dismantled its hold on me by giving every bit I had, rather than saying, well, just give him what the goods and keep some money. No. Give it all back, dismantle it. The enemy, what did Jesus turn around and say about Satan? He says, he has no hold on me. Amen. When you dismantle something, it has no hold on you. And this is the power that God gives us to dismantle. He gives us a power to smash things so they no longer can be a problem in our life. And then he says, I'll give you the strength to cut down. It means to reduce in size. So I might need to cut down weight. I might need to cut down on how I spend something. What is it that needs reducing? What is it you burn too much of? It may be your passions are too expensive. What is it you need to cut down, reduce in size, so it no longer becomes the major issue in your life? You know, passion can be very expensive. Passion can be consuming. Interest, likes. You know, there's nothing like a selfish guy who goes to a football match and he will spend all his money going to a football match. I mean, every time you go to a football match, it's 35 to 50 quid, depending where you're going. It's an expensive business going to football matches. But some fellas, I don't know, these guys who don't work, always end up going travelling abroad, watching United or City or whoever it is. It costs a lot of money. And yet they've always found money for it. And yet, what's the state of the homes like? It needs cutting down. So when football became my God, which it did, what did I do? I was a steward at Old Trafford. I was a steward at Main Road. That's the old city place. That was the original church. And I, as a fan, I was as close to my idols as I always wanted to be. And God said, this is not what I've got for you. Leave sin with sin. So I reduced my passion on football. And I still have to tell myself, reduce it. Don't go too close to it, because I know it's like a siren. It tempts me. It sings to me. And I have to tell myself, no. Because I know it's an interest. It's not a passion, it's an interest. It was a passion that consumed me. It's an interest. We all have them. Cut it down. Cut it down. Cut it down. And then he says, so it means to reduce in size, the amount of quantity. Reduce it, trim back, cut down. And then he says, I'll give you my strength and power to burn them. To burn them. In the New Testament, when Paul had been preaching, they brought all their scrolls out that was attached to witchcraft. And they burnt, and they had a big fire. Why? Because when you burn something, you can't go back to it. Some of you may need to hold a fire. You know, one of the things we did, and we will do all the time, is in ADT. In the first month of doing ADT, we burn a fire. It's one of our practices. We have a fire, and we put we ask the students to put what they're trying to get rid of, their attachments, and we burn a fire. It's quite powerful when you see people burn in their past. Because, you know, when you burn, like I say, you can't go back to it. And this is the thing. This means to destroy, to damage, and to injure. When you burn something, you damage it. You destroy it, and you injure it. So it's no good for use. So God, he tells them four things to do. Four things to do. And I'll give you my power to do it. I'll give you my power to smash it down. I'll give you my power to break it. I'll give you my power to cut it off. I'll give you my power to burn it. Is that not power? Is that not power? I'll give you my power to cut off, smash, break down, and burn. That's power. That's power. For you, he says, you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Now, you're my possession. God's saying you're my possession. Can you imagine if your children, as a parent, you see your children being consumed by wrong desires? Think about this. I'm not talking about your children now as children. They now get to 17, 18, 19, 20. And you see your children stand by. It could be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could be a bad relationship, it could be bad spending habits, and you feel powerless to influence them. But you as a parent can see that that dipstick he's with, are not good for one another. You as a parent feel powerless. This is how God was with Israel. I've told you. I've given you instructions. I've given you commands. I've given you all the resources of heaven. And yet you still want to live wayward. You still want to be prostitute. You want to prostitute yourself. You want to get involved with all the things I tell you not to do. All the things that you say bring you pleasure actually bring you harm. God feels like this helpless parent because God gives them free will. It's not that God's not got no power. God tells them the consequences if they do this, and he has to wait and stand back to allow them for the whole scene to manifest before they turn around and say, oh, daddy, daddy, daddy. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. The Lord did not set his affections on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other people. In other words, I didn't love you because of your strength, your size, your capabilities. You weren't a sizable people. I love you because I saw you as a people I wanted to make a covenant with. God's covenant. God's covenant is our strength. For you were the fewest of all peoples, he says. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept an oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand. Now let's just get this thing, this mighty hand. I want you to grab this mighty hand. Mighty hand. And he redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh. So Pharaoh was a man with power. Pharaoh had power, strength, and size. But God says, I delivered you from that power, that size and that strength. Why? Because of my covenant with you I made with your forefathers. You lot are a bunch of rat bags, but I love your fathers and I'll keep them. I'll keep my covenant. I'll show you that I'm a God who can keep his word. Remember with the first rule we learned? I will keep my word if you keep your walk. That is a fundamental key aspect of our covenant. My covenant works if you keep your word. I'll keep my way, my word to you, but will you keep your walk with me? So, from Pharaoh, know there that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations. That's a lot of people. Yeah? Of those who, watch this, let's read it again so you get it clear in your Bibles. Verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is faithful. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him. There it is. And keep his commands. There it is right there. The covenant and commands. Let's go to verse 11. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, the decrees, and the laws I give you today. Take care. That's an instruction right there. Take care. When you hear the word take care, pay attention. They are instructions. Take care what? To follow. Follow what? The commands, the decrees, and the laws I give you today. This day is being recorded. It's only live once. That's what Sky say. Today is live. You're live in this room. You're hearing what God is saying. Today is the day that you get to hear his instructions again. If you hear it again tomorrow, thank God you've got grace. You made it through another day. And then he says this. If, now that's conditional, John. If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep what? What? His covenant. Of what? Love. With you. You keep your walk, I'll keep my word. Ah. As he swore to your forefathers, verse 13, he will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, and grain, your new wine oil, the calves of your herds, the lambs of your flocks in the land that he swore to your forefathers to give you. You will be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless, nor any of their livestock without young. The Lord God will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you horrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all who hate you. You must destroy all the peoples the Lord gives over to you. Command. Don't look on them with pity and don't serve their gods. For they will be a snare to you. You may say to yourselves, these nations are stronger than we are. How can we drive them out? In other words, I'm going to remove all excuses and reasons. But do not be afraid of them. Remember, well, what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. Pharaoh was a more powerful force than Egypt ever thought. And yet, now, go to verse 13, back up to 13. He will love and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit. Let's look at just for a second what he is now about to bless if you follow my instructions. Because the blessings outweigh the curse. Amen. God's strength in its positive use is far greater than his destructive use. Because God's got power for destruction as well as he's got for love. Yeah? It says, verse 13, the first word you see is the word increase. The word increase. Now, this covenant that God's given with us, it has strength, power, and size. And it has the power, the strength, and the size to give you increase. Amen. Now, we all like that word increase. I like that word. What are you going to increase? Am I going to increase my size? No, none of us don't want to increase our size. He's not talking about weight. He's talking about life. God wants to increase us. This relates to strength, size, and power. What do you need increase in? Think of it. You'd have to tell me. You'd have to shout it out. What increase does your family need? What increase does your life need? Is it resources? Is it better job? Is it seed? What increase does your family need? Write it down, think about it, bring it before the Lord. Lord, I need to see this covenant love bring increase in this area. God's promising me, if you keep the commands and obey, I'll bring increase. I have every right, if I'm walking in the covenant, to stand before the Lord and bring my needs before Him and say, Lord, I need an increase in this area. Come on. There's no point in being in covenant if I can't lay hold of the benefits. True? What is the point of having a health plan when I'm sick, I can't use it? True? So he wants to bring increase. Now, what do I need an increase of strength, size, and power to do? If I want increase, I might need a better job. I might need a job. I might need resources. If I'm going to increase, I need greater strength, greater capacity, and greater power to bring the increase. Lord, I need something that I don't have. And I'm looking to you to supply it to me. Come on. The fairy godmother's not going to turn up tomorrow morning and leave a parcel on your doorstep. God's going to show you the principles of how to obtain and increase. As you walk with Him, keep His word. Keep your walk. He'll keep His word. The next thing He says is, He mentions the children. He mentions their children. Israel's children. We need a greater power and strength to raise our children today than we ever before. We need strength. We need power. We need influence. We don't need authority. We've got authority. We need wisdom and strength, because our kids will push us and push us and push us. Now, when He's talking about the kids, the first thing He does is talk about the womb. He talks about the womb. Why? Because the womb is where life comes. So He goes to the source of the family, which is the woman's womb. And what goes in the womb is seed. So, ladies, you have the right before the Father to petition the Lord for a fruitful womb. Now watch this. You may have had your children, but can your womb still supply life? I don't mean naturally keep giving children. Your womb, my womb is part of me. It's still attached to me. Right? So it says, my womb produces life. So even though my children are out the womb, I still want that womb to produce life in them. So I have a right to turn around and say, we will have a legacy. We will have a legacy. This womb will produce a legacy. In other words, this womb will be ongoing. Life will come into this family. Amen? The next thing He mentions is seed. Money is seed. Time is seed. Kindness is seed. Goodness is seed. Words are seed. Seeds fall in many categories. He says, seeds, I'll give you seed for the crops of your land. What do you need seed for? Some of you might need some more healthier, wholesome words to sow into an environment. To turn your wife or your marriage or whatever it is, your children, your employer, seed, seed, seed. God's promising Israel, I'll give you seed, I'll give you a womb, I'll give you increase. And then the next thing He says is, I'll give you wealth. The crops in your land, the grain, the wine, the oil, the works of your hands. Sorry, I'm getting mixed up here. I'll give you wealth. What does that mean? He gives them calves. He gives them lambs. He gives them animals, which is assets. Livestock, assets, wealth. You know, when you've got animals, you've got strength and you've got some power. You've got the power to negotiate. You've got leverage. You've got assets. You know, one of the greatest assets you can find now in this time is a house. If you've got money in the bank, you've got leverage. God wants to give us assets. I went very, very quiet there. I need assets. Why? Not for me just to sit there and be fat. I need assets for leverage for the kingdom. Because I can do things with assets. I can do things with leverage. It can't just be about me. I've got to be able to use my strength to bless others. And then the next thing he says to Israel is health. I'll give you health. You will be a healthier people than anyone on the face of this earth. Now, wouldn't that be nice at our age if we all walked in pure health? Right, it's not a pipe dream, it's part of the covenant. It's part of the covenant. I'll keep these, he says, from you. And then go back to Deuteronomy 7:8. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath to you, he swore to your forefathers, that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. We keep hearing this word, mighty hand. Mighty hand. Isaiah tells us in 59:15 says, the Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So what happened? His own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. God has this ability to put his arm out, and what he puts his arm out, everything sustained. Now, why is this so significant in your life? Well, once upon a time, I'm trying to find a scripture. Oh, here it is. Yeah. In Egyptian literature, a pharaoh is frequently described as putting out his mighty right hand. So if a pharaoh put his hand out, it was a symbol and a signal that there was no one on earth who had more power than him. Yeah? God, knowing this, quite deliberately says in Ezekiel 30:22, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I'm against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt. I will break both his arms, the good arm as well as the broken one, and make the sword fall from his hand. I will disperse the Egyptians among the nations and scatter them through the countries. I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon and put a sword in his hand, but I will break the arms of Pharaoh, and he will groan before me like a mortally wounded man. I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon, but the arms of Pharaoh will fall limp. Then they will know that I am the Lord who puts a sword in the hands of a king of Babylon and brandishes it against Egypt. God is making a point that my arm is stronger than Pharaoh's. I'll break it. I'll smash it. His arm is just flesh and blood. But my arm is stronger. I will sustain you by my right hand. He said when there was no one there to intervene for him, he was appalled. So his own arm worked for him. And not only did it go to work, it sustained. Now, if we can function by the covenant, the right arm of God still will sustain us. I used the illustration last week with John, and if he put 5 kilos here and Elijah put 5 kilos there, which one? Hold the hands out. How long would it be before their hands began to tire? God can hold out his hand all day long and never tire. Amen. He can hold the whole world in his hand. So, let's finish this. Deuteronomy 33:27 said, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath him are the everlasting arms. He's the eternal refuge. And on the home straight now, Ephesians 3:16. Paul's found praying for the church, and this is what he prays. And I keep asking him, I'm going to read it from the Message version. I ask him to strengthen you by his spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. I ask him that you're both feet planted firmly on love, and you'll be able to take in with all the Christians the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test it in length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives. Live in the fullness of God. Paul is praying that we may know this dimension of God. And I'm going back to the NIV, verse 20 of that same scripture. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. God says, I'll give you my strength. I'll give you my size. I'll give you my power to break, to smash, to tear down, to burn. I'll give you my power to walk in the covenant. I'll give you my power to know what I know, to walk in what I walk in, to taste what I taste, to be who I part of who I am. God will give you his power so that you can do that. This week, you and I must go before the Lord and we must ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that needs breaking? What is it that needs smashing? What is it that needs tearing down? What is it that needs burning? Now, if you ignore this and go out and don't do it, that's your prerogative. But if you want God's strength, if you really do want to tap into God's strength, you must obey the instructions that God's given us. He promised Israel health, wealth, protection. You see, you think of it. Our kids, he told Israel not to let your kids intermarry. You hear that? So how do we do that today? How do we intermarry? How do we sell our kids into the wrong path? By letting them marry non-Christians. When our children marry non-Christians, that is like selling our kids into slavery. The New Testament talks about it very specifically. Don't mix the seed. Yeah. Right? Now, what happens if my wife gets saved afterwards? There's very clear instructions for that. Love her. Protect her. Raise her. Your righteousness will cover her. Right? Doesn't make her saved, but that's the principle. So he's not advocating divorce neither. He's saying, there's a way, there's a principle, but I would rather you start off not selling your kids in that path. And what do our kids come back and say? But Daddy, I love him. That's always going to be the argument they're going to use. But we've got to be very careful. We've got power to raise. Power to set in place. Power to tear down. To smash. To burn. What does your family need? What does your family need? What do you need from God? I want to encourage you this week to go before the Lord and ask him, Lord, show me what needs breaking, what needs smashing, what needs tearing down, what needs burning. Will you do that? Amen. We do that this week. We ask the Lord, Lord, what is it? I want to rise in power. You've given me your strength. I don't have to struggle for the power. It's there. He just says, is your will there? Is your will there? Lord, not my will, but your will be done. When your will is in the right place, the power's there. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, if we will. Jesus said, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, Lord, if it's your will. And on that night, he took the cup and he was betrayed. But he took the cup, he went to the cross, knowing full well what was there, because he knew it was the will of the Father, and the power to go to the cross was there. You've got the power to go to the cross this week. Yeah, I said you've got the power to go to the cross. My job here is done. I've delivered the word. I, like you, will have to go before the Father this week and join with you in the saints in prayer. So as you're praying for yourself, pray for me. Say, Lord, smash him, break him. Don't burn him, Lord, don't burn him. But seriously, I'll be there with you. I don't stand here as I've got all the answers, but I'm a man like you that need to come before the Lord. Because I need strength for so many things. I need power for greater things. I need size for this. I need stature for that. I need character in this area. So do you. So, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Just as you spoke to Israel, you are speaking to us. We are no different than Israel. You made a covenant with them. You've made a covenant with us. You've grafted us into the same covenant. So we both share the same covenant, the same Father, the same God who was a mighty outstretched arm, who performed wonders, signs and miracles for Israel, is the same God who stretches out his arm and performs signs and wonders and miracles in the church, for the church. You gave us your power, you gave us your name, you gave us your authority, you gave us the mandate to rise and to advance. Father, I ask you, O God, that you would sow these things deep into our hearts, and that faith, that the Lord, that the will of everyone in this room will conform to the image of God and not to the pattern of this world. Father, I pray for the saints of God before me today. And I pray, O God, let strength and power be found in the household of God. Let the covenant be found flourishing in every house. In every house, let the covenant of God rise upon us. And I pray, Father, for your people to keep their walks. Lord, knowing that as they keep their walk with you, you will keep their word, your word with them. And Father, now I commend them to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to keep us from falling. Now to him who can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to the grace that's in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.